Greater Sandton and beyond. Get ready for the Sandton Times Hour.
With your host,
Alexander.
Ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between and beyond, this is the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and available on all good podcast platforms. I'm Alexander Leitner, and this is edition 137. It's week 45 of 2023. And hello, November. Here you are, you beauty. I'm excited to be with you again. And if you'd like to get in touch, send through your questions, your comments, your feedback, you can do so using the email address editor@sandtontimes.co.za. You can connect on social media at Sandton Times, and you can also visit the website www.sandtontimes.co.za. And if you're listening live on Mix 93.8 and not at a later stage, delayed on a podcast or some other platform, well, you can use the WhatsApp line right now. It's open on 0848220938, 0848220938. And it's always great to get your messages and your thoughts and your feedback during the show. A special welcome to everyone listening in Greater Gauteng, across South Africa, or anywhere else in the world. If you're listening online or on air, I'm happy to report that all is well in Sandtonland. What's on air? Is that sort of a different platform? Vincenzo, it's good to have you here again. And what a cold week it was this past week. I don't know about you, but gosh, it felt like we had to dig up all our winter clothes again that had been packed away already. And we were ready for summer. And then suddenly there was a bit of a U-turn. And suddenly we went back to winter for a brief period of time. But let's hope that we've turned the corner and warmer days are up ahead. And what a week it's been. I shot through to OR Tambo International Airport to see the Springboks return home. And I'm sure that they're probably exhausted after a week of celebrations. But some incredible shots on television. If you've seen some of the videos of people celebrating the Springboks. And I must tell you, Tuesday was no different. It was actually remarkable. And initially, I wasn't going to go. And last minute, I decided, well, you know what? The Gautrain's offering a free ride to the airport. Let's go and let's go have a look what it looks like. And I saw some tremendous moments at OR Tambo International. I mean, there was a gentleman who was with me on the Gautrain. He was wearing his rugby jersey and he was there with a walker on his own. And he was determined with his walker, he was going to go all the way to the airport and he was going to see the Springboks come back. I saw dads with kids. I saw moms with kids. I saw whole families who arrived, who'd clearly taken the day off work or taken their kids out of school and decided they're going to go to the airport and be part of this historical moment when the Springboks returned to Johannesburg. And it was really heartwarming to see so many people, different ages, different races, different religions, different everything. I mean, a total mixed bag at the airport, all celebrating the Springboks' incredible victory and a really heartwarming moment. I must tell you, though, if you were at the airport and you didn't get there early, I mean, it was very hard to see much because it was just packed with people and cell phones and flags and posters and banners. So you probably saw more on television or online if it was streaming online than you did if you were there in person. But obviously, when you were there in person, you got like the real gees. You got the energy of the room, which was just something else, and what an experience. Then KLM celebrated 85 years of flying to Johannesburg, so had a chance to meet the global CEO of KLM. She flew out for the night to celebrate 85 years of connecting Amsterdam and Johannesburg to each other and connect the countries. Then Tastic, they hosted a luncheon to seed a few snack table ideas ahead of the festive season, and they've brought out these really interesting sort of like chips, these sort of air-popped chips. And they had a chef there called Chef P. She was fantastic. And she made the most amazing feta and chili dip. If you're into those combinations, it was delicious. And she promised me to get me the recipe because I thought that's actually quite a nice one to add if you're having people over for a braai. That's one to try out. Then Maxhosa and Tanqueray, they revealed their new collaboration ahead of the holiday. So they've brought out a special Maxhosa glass, or Copa, as they call it. And you'll be able to get that limited quantities, but that's happening as well. And then I had the pleasure of emceeing a friend's 50th birthday in Houghton, and a very happy birthday to her on a tremendous milestone. I mean, 50 is the new 30, it seems. I mean, so vibrant, so exciting, big party, and it was great to be part of such a special celebration. And finally, wrapped up the week with the Westlife concert. If you went to Westlife, I would love to know what was your favorite track, what was your favorite moment. I know people have been sharing all the details online, but I'd love to see what you thought of the Westlife concert this weekend. Coming up on the week's show, South Africans had a chance to peek into the country's purse, and much like Mother Hubbard, the cupboard was bare. In a minute, we'll get a brief overview on the medium-term budget policy statement that happened this past week. Then you might remember him from the hit property show on BBC called Listing Cape Town, and now he is expanding to Sandton. Stay tuned for more on that. One of Johannesburg's flourishing choirs is ready to pull out the razzle and dazzle for another one-night-only performance. I'll get you all the details on that. And finally, he's African, he's vegan, and he's got a comedy show that is heading to Sandton. This and more, all coming up in the next hour. But this is the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8. And Vincenzo, a bit of a special request. Have you got a bit of Lizzo for us to kick off the hour? What do you mean I'm ready? Of course I am.
Show some love.
Subscribe. Share.
Leave a review and rating for the Sandton Times Hour
on your favorite podcast app now.
What you are about to hear is the sound of me drowning. My name is Matthew. On 7th January 2023, a rip current swept me out to sea. NSRI's beach safety camera operators spotted me. They radioed local lifeguards and saved my life.
Drowning is swift and silent. Please, always watch your loved ones around water and help us keep saving lives like Matthew's at nsri.org.za/donate.
The latest news.
The biggest names.
The best destinations.
The hottest entertainment. This is the Sandton Times Hour.
This is the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and available on all good digital audio platforms, wherever you are in the world. And that was Lizzo with To Be Loved. It's time to take a look at the headlines for this week. Oh, and some truly horrible news coming out of the neighborhood as Times Live reports police are investigating the case of a murder after the body of a 34-year-old woman was discovered on a jogging route at George Lee Park in Parkmore, Sandton. This was last Sunday morning. The victim was a member of the My Run Sandton Sports Club running group, and earlier this week the organization released a brief statement confirming the incident but did not provide too many details. And investigations are ongoing, but just such a horrible thing to have to hear about. Then the Brave Media and Journalism Awards took place at the Saxon Hotel in Sandhurst this past week, and they paid tribute to, amongst others, legendary broadcaster Derek Watts, and of course a lot of South Africa's fearless journalists who tell so many of the stories that need to be heard and need to be seen. Then Business Tech reports the Sandton CBD and other northern areas of Johannesburg have seen an increasing number of visits to the office for more than 2 hours, even if it's not back to pre-COVID levels. This comes off the back of KPMG South Africa's 2023 CEO Outlook, which indicated that 72% of South African CEOs support a return to in-person work within the next 3 years. Are you working for a company where your line manager or your senior or your CEO said, listen, you know, we're done with working from home. Everyone needs to be back at the office. How do you feel about that? I know a lot of people have been like, yeah, cool, great. Don't mind going back to the office. Other people said, look, you know what? I actually quite enjoyed working at home. I actually was quite productive being at home. And now I'm having to entertain water cooler conversations and coffee station chats, which are eating into my time. But I'd love to hear what your experience has been like. 87% of CEOs in Southern Africa said that they are willing to incentivize and provide employees who come to the office with favorable assignments, raises, and promotions as the younger workforce enjoys the autonomy and flexibility of remote work. Very interesting that. Well, let's leave the headlines there for this week. After the break, I'm joined by the CEO of the Southern African Institute of Taxation, also known as SAIT, Professor Keith Engel. He'll take a look at the medium-term budget policy statement with me. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Connect with the Sandton Times. Email editor at santontimes.co.za. The best of talk and music in 1 hour. This is the Sandton Times Hour.
This is the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and available on all good digital audio platforms wherever you are in the world. If you prefer podcasts, well, you might be hearing this at a later stage. But if you're listening to it live, it's good to have you tuned in. This past week, the Minister of Finance, Enoch Godongwana, announced the medium-term budget policy statement for South Africa. It's almost like a precursor, a temperature check on what we can expect from the budget in 2024, which will probably be about the third Wednesday in February next year. I mean, a lot of people are saying it wasn't a great outlook, but let's have a chat about it. I'm joined by Professor Keith Engel. He's the CEO of the South African Institute of Taxation. And Professor, maybe just to kick this door wide open, what were your impressions of the medium-term budget policy statement?
Well, I think the first thing is that this is just a checkup. This is not a budget announcement. So people always get confused and expecting a lot of announcements. I think the real question here is, well, you know, he's very limited in what he can do. So to be fair to the minister, I think he's doing the best he can in very difficult times. And remember, he's politically limited. But I think that my ultimate impression is that South Africa's slowly sliding downward. That's my overall impression. We went from 71% to 77% on the debt to GDP ratio. When you look at the situation, we just go, well, we'll try to do better next time, and then we do a little worse. It's like that student who's supposed to pass, well, maybe I'll do better next time, but oh, it didn't work out. Well, next year we'll do better. And we just keep sliding. We're not at a failed state, but we are steadily declining, and it's getting steadily worse.
I mean, I hesitate to use the words that it's a bit of a ballsy move, but it is generally not the kind of thing you would expect to hear ahead of an election year, because generally you'd want whoever is ready to be re-elected or potentially elected out of office to try and paint the prettiest picture possible, to try and do sort of tax breaks, trying to position their offering as best possible. And that's not kind of what we got this past Wednesday.
Well, he had to show what the numbers were. He couldn't lie about it. So the numbers are the numbers. The problem is it's a political year. And the problem is this president is very limited politically in what he wants to do. So the problem is that we're spending too much money. And if we make cuts, we're cutting his voters. He may want a tax because those people are not his voters, but he can only squeeze so much money out of them. And really not able to get more. Now, we're about 15 billion short. So there's a fear that will there be a tax increase? Look, I think to some extent, there's ways of doing a tax increase that's not so explicit. So there's a risk of a small tax increase. There's attempts to reallocate in the budget. There's maybe some slow growth in spending, but there's no real commitment politically to do anything beyond that. So what could the Minister of Finance do? Try to paint it as best he could and saying, look, situation isn't terrible. It's okay. We can live with it. That's really what the message is.
Well, I mean, to break it down into real basic terms, I mean, government itself doesn't have money. Government doesn't own any money, doesn't generate any money. The money that the government has is what the taxpayers and all of us pay through VAT, through personal income tax, through business tax. So that's the money they're working with. Of that money, they're spending more than what they're actually bringing in or what they actually have in the budget. So it's if you're running your own household, if you spend more than what's coming in, you know, it's not going to look good. And we've gone as far from being where we were in a surplus under Trevor Manuel. We're now in a situation where we're borrowing money. And I believe it's something like a fifth of the money that we've borrowed, we're now repaying. So I think it's a rand in every 5 rand or 18 cents in every rand or however you want to break it down. I mean, that is significant amount of money that we're just using to service debt that could be used to build houses, electricity infrastructure, water, roads, all of that.
No, absolutely. I think, look, at the end of the day, when government needs money, there are three ways to do it. One is to raise taxes. The problem is if you raise taxes, you're hurting growth and you're just reprioritizing. So it doesn't help you on the growth front. Growth is always wonderful, but that's not happening. So you've got taxes, you have borrowing. We're borrowed to the limit. You hear it that the domestic guys are used up, the foreign guys. So borrowing is becoming very expensive. And then the last is inflation. You devalue the currency. Now, what's happening here is we tax people out. Maybe we can tax them a little more. The debt is tapping out. You're going to see, you know, the danger starts coming when, well, we just have to print more money. It's the only way to go. The other elements to change things we're just not committed to. So the difficulty is as you get the debt, the problem with governments and debt is it's a tomorrow thing. I borrow now for growth tomorrow. And the governments become addicted to that. And that's really where they are, because that's the easiest thing to do politically is kick debt down the road. And so it just keeps growing. And then the problem steadily gets worse. And that's why I say we're steadily sliding into the abyss. We're not there, but we're getting step closer each and every year.
Wow. So we're on to the third credit card. We've already borrowed some money from the loan shark. We've done all of those things. Professor, where do you see a way of actually starting to tackle this, firstly, this runaway debt, but then also trying to tackle this runaway expenditure that is completely out of proportion to the money that's coming in?
Yeah, I think the problem here is that when government is still keeps projecting to live beyond its means. So look, the only thing that they, if you can't tax your way out of this, because if you tax too much, you're killing the growth. So that doesn't really work. And the only real taxes are going to hit the main, it big taxes on small numbers of wealth people isn't going to get you there, even if you wanted to. So the real trouble of this government is they've got to cut and they've got to reprioritize. And that's really what the cutting is. And so the point is, one, I would say that they should deregulate. They won't deregulate because they're part of the national, the social democratic movement where they want to keep regulating. The problem is they're not freeing the economy. So the cheapest way out is to deregulate, but they're unwilling to do that. The other thing is, can we cut the waste? You see, we're slowly freezing or slowing things down. There's a number of departments, there's a number of things that should be cut. Cut those things out that really don't help the economy. But again, he's not willing to cut his voter base. That's the president's problem. So with a series of selective cuts in areas where that's not going to hurt the economy, you can't cut ESCOM, you can't cut Transnet, cut other places where it's not so service-oriented, you deregulate, free this economy up a little bit, maybe you can get some growth back again. But they're just not willing to do that. And then, you know, in terms of taxes, I think the only thing you can do is what they're trying to do is they're trying to get the people who are not paying. That's really all you can do. But to be honest with you, it doesn't take that much. If you just do some, you'll get the momentum to change. The real problem is momentum. People feel we're going in the wrong direction. If you can change it so people feel they're in the right direction, the mood will quickly change. It's amazing what a mood will do. People are very directional. So a little can go a long way. So I don't think the situation is hopeful, but the problem is this government, as long as the ANC is in charge of this government, there won't be any change in direction. So any little technical issues you do, I don't think anybody's going to be buying in.
And I think we've seen it in sort of very developed and very stable economies where populations who see money being spent correctly and in the right places are more than happy to pay their part, irrespective of how much that is. Because they can see it's being applied correctly. But I suppose the flip side of that is when you're in a situation where you feel like your money's being spent on all kinds of things except not that which you want, you're more reluctant to be part of that process. I mean, another interesting thing that the finance minister also highlighted was that he kind of laid down the gauntlet that this days of bailing out state-owned enterprises has also come to a grinding halt.
Look, I guess this, let me say this. I don't think that people are willing to pay taxes on infinitum, even for things they like. So there is a limit to how much you can tax people, period. They want the items, but they don't want to pay the tax. And that's why if you look at Europe and the US, they're also getting more and more in debt. So yes, people feel better about it, but they don't want to pay for it. So there's a limit. But when it comes to this debt issue, I think it's also a farce. The bottom line is we own ESCOM. We own Transnet. Whether it's on their books or our books, it's meaningless. It's just a bunch of, you know, nobody's fooled by this. I mean, I don't know how you can get away with it, but they're playing the game Enron played, right? Enron took all their debt and threw it off balance sheet. Well, they're saying it's on ESCOM and Transnet, it's off balance sheet. So I know, and what gauntlet can he do? He's got no power to do this because, you know, he's saying, well, I won't accept the debt anymore. He will. The problem is it's Gordon and those people have to say, people have to be dismissed and removed. And they're not doing that. And they're not cleaning out the people that are inefficient. So this gauntlet, it's a lot of noise. I don't think it helps at all.
Well, there you have it. A quick insight into the midterm budgets speech there by Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana. I'm chatting to Professor Keith Engel, CEO of the South African Institute of Taxation. It's been great catching up with you and to just have a quick overview of what that speech was all about this past week. Obviously, more will be revealed in the actual finance or budget speech in February 2024. It's the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a quick musical break and more of the Sandton Times Hour right after this.
For more,
the Sandton Times Hour continues.
You're listening to the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 with Dua Lipa and Dance the Night Away. My name is Alexander Leitner, and you know how this works. If you listen to the show regularly, we have show notes up on the website. So if you heard something on the show, you can't remember what the details were or where to get a hold of somebody, well, you go onto the website, you visit the show notes for this week, and all the details will be up there as far as possible. And you can do that in your own time. Also, don't forget to follow the Sandton Times on our social media accounts at Sandton Times. And also there, you can get in touch with us via DM, WhatsApp, whatever works for you. Voice notes. I mean, I've received all kinds of interesting things. So choose your platform, choose your way, and you can get in touch. And my next interview is an interesting one because the property game at the moment, I think, is quite an interesting space to be in. On the one hand, a lot of people are saying, well, property is booming. On the other hand, people are saying, well, people are it's a buyer's market, it's a seller's market. You actually don't quite know where we're at with property. But I've got a gentleman joining me right now who probably knows more about property than I do at this point in time. His name is Sadiq Effendi. He's the founder, CEO, and principal of Lion Lead Real Estate. You might know him from BBC Lifestyle's Listing Cape Town. And it's great to have you on the Sandton Times Hour.
Thanks for having me, Alexander. I've been operating in Cape Town for over 9 years now in the Atlantic Seaboard market. And yeah, I've worked for some great companies along the way and have now started my own called Lion Lead Real Estate.
Well, let's talk about your experience with listing Cape Town. I mean, most estates or real estate agents are familiar or famous because they have their face on a billboard or on a street pole ad as you drive around the suburbs. You've taken it one step further. You got to crack a TV show with BBC Lifestyle. What was it like being on Listing Cape Town?
To be honest with you, Alexander, it's always been a dream to be on a real estate TV show. I think how I actually got into real estate was watching a real estate show called Million Dollar Listing. You know, when they did interviews to do the show, it was a dream come true, you know, to be casted for the show. And I think what the amazing thing about the show is that we see extraordinary homes on the Atlantic seaboard. And yes, there was TV shows before in Cape Town that did that. But I think, you know, you had to wait for a specific evening to watch this, and it was quite curated. Now, the Listing Cape Town show allowed more homes to be seen and for people to, you know, like dream and be aspirational in terms of what Cape Town property actually has to offer. The people that are on the show, there's a couple of that's on the cast, and they all have different types of properties that they, you know, show buyers on the show. And yeah, it gives you an insight to what's happening on the Atlantic seaboard, what types of homes in terms of lock up and go, two family homes, and you know, the decor and the interior. And yeah, I think that's what Listing Cape Town actually has to show.
Quite a tricky show to do, though, because I think in most instances, a lot of people are quite discreet. They're quite private about what they own, how much they sell these properties for. At the same time, it's great exposure for the people who have got great properties because so many people get to see them. There might be a chance that you might bring in a really attractive buyer. So it's quite a balancing act between the immense exposure that you provide these properties and the sellers, but at the same time also having to also juggle around in terms of commissions, in terms of what the final price point is. It must have been quite something to navigate.
I 100% agree with you, Alexander. There are loads of owners on the Atlantic seaboard that are super discreet about, you know, their homes. You know, it's security as well, letting somebody into your home and having the whole public have a look inside your home. So there was a little bit of a resistance to that. But I think in the most, there were people that were open up to showing their homes. And I think they did it specifically for what you mentioned, was that public exposure, getting the entire South Africa to look at a home that could be sold, and even watching the buying process of people and the decisions that they make when purchasing a home. I think that was the crux of the matter. It's like, how do people view the house? Showing different options to different buyers and getting their perception of what you know, is going to work for them. And then also understanding why different buyers are buying. Some people are looking for family homes. Some people are looking for investments. And that's what the show has to offer.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing selling on the Atlantic seaboard, which I think is a hugely attractive, you know, stretch to sell both locally, but mostly internationally. You're now expanding into Sandton, which is, I think, a totally different kettle of fish. Still a very attractive suburb or area to be in. But what led you to decide to move into Sandton?
What I did is I did a little bit of research on this. So in terms of volume, the sales volume in the Cape Town and surrounds matches that of Sandton, right? So Sandton and surrounds. So when you look at that, the volume in sales, the number of sales are vastly different. So the gross value is the same, but there's more transactions happening in Johannesburg, whether you believe it or not, it's actually true. And so we decided that the property sale price, as an example, is like a third of what the property prices are in Cape Town. And so the affordability market that we saw between 1 and 3 transacts much faster in Joburg than in Cape Town. So that is why we actually looked at Joburg as a market. And when the market recovers, so right now the market's a bit flat on both ends, although Cape Town is still, you know, on top in terms of people buying for investment properties. So we decided that when Joburg turns, when the interest rate comes down, we'll be better prepared for that market when it does recover. Mm.
So what kind of trends are you seeing at the moment when it comes to Sandton and in terms of property? Because as I say, a lot of people are saying it's a buyer's market. Some people are saying it's a seller's market. Where do you sit on that debate?
Definitely a buyer's market. The conversations that are coming up with agents, and I know people that have also sold recently in the Joburg area, when agents are busy doing valuations for owners or sellers, the owners and sellers already know that they are offering up to 30% less than what they paid for it. So if you do not list correctly, the property unfortunately won't sell. You are going to have to take a knock, but we do see the recovery of that market when the interest rates change.
Mm. Okay, so that's kind of what the big thing is. If you're not having to sell right now, hold tight. You might get a better deal if the interest rates change. If you have to sell, well, make sure that you kind of list it correctly and try and get the best out of what is a very competitive market at the moment. How do you think Sandton fares in terms of property in South Africa? I mean, you were saying it's obviously higher volumes, maybe lower price points than to Cape Town. But what are some of the areas in Sandton that you think are very popular and very attractive, and why are they so attractive?
What I've seen across South Africa, I mean, I travel and, you know, enjoy the lifestyle that South Africa has to offer. And I think what is very attractive, what was once attractive was, as an example in Sandton, is that people wanted to live, work, play in the same area. And what COVID did is like reset, where people can now work from home, And so they can choose to live sort of like anywhere. And that was that together with the interest rate droppings, funnily enough, saw a reset of people moving into different areas in the Sandton area, whereas in Cape Town, people bought closer to the nodes where that is being offered. One area in Sandton that I specifically enjoy myself and I have seen a significant growth is the Rosebank area. The live-work play with the Rosebank Mall, the easy to commute, I definitely see a rise in that. Commercial spaces that were once vacant for long periods of times have been taken up in that specific area too. I definitely see a huge growth and expansion in the Rosebank area.
Well, there you have it. A bit of insight there from the principal CEO and founder of Lion Lead Real Estate. They're coming to Sandton. Obviously, a good place to be when you're in real estate, or at least positioning yourself in the right place. Sadiq Effendi, he's also familiar and a well-known face for the show BBC Lifestyles Listing Cape Town. It's been great to have you on the Sandton Times Hour.
Follow the Sandton Times on social media.
At Sandton Times.
Well, it's only well into November, and we're already discussing December, but it's that part of the year where things just literally, I don't want to say deteriorate very quickly, but they come to an end very quickly. Before you know it, the weeks and days have passed, and it's the end of the year. And a conversation we had last year, around about the same time, was with the JQC, the Johannesburg Queer Chorus, and he had to talk to me about a new performance that they've got lined up for December. Is Darren Meltz. He's the chairperson of the JQC. And Darren, tell me a little bit more about this performance you've got lined up for December. Is this a sort of a very festive season focused performance, or is this sort of as a play out of your Italy trip earlier this year?
Hi, Alex. So great to chat to you again. I'm actually going to say it's neither of those.
Oh.
It's a brand new show under the directorship of our new musical director, Jacques Leroux. And it's as camp and queer and fabulous as you can imagine. So it's a totally new repertoire, which has actually been put together with suggestions from the choir itself. So it's music that we've been longing to sing for many a season. And now we're finally getting the chance. So not to give away too much of what we will be singing. We do have a couple favorites from previous seasons, but got a lot of musical theater inspired stuff, some music from some films, but just in general, a really, really good time. We're calling it a kaleidoscope of fun and love.
Okay. All right. So, but yet still something, I suppose, very upbeat for this time of the year, as people are probably wanting to switch off their computers and start thinking about happier things as they go into the holidays.
Absolutely. That's exactly the way that we're approaching it, Alex, is we want to take people on a musical journey, just make it something really fun and just involve the audience as much as we can.
So tell me a little bit more about your new musical director, because I think we briefly touched on this. So you had a musical director, I think, up until Italy, and then you've made a change to the musical director of the JQC. How has that impacted the choir? How has that changed the sound of what you're delivering?
I think that it has had a huge impact on the sound. We're sounding amazing. We're a much bigger choir now. There's about 70 of us, and hopefully most of us will be performing in the end of year show. The focus has switched to more of a pop and musical theatre sound, whereas before we were doing a bit of a different repertoire. So you're probably going to see a much different choir this time on stage.
Okay, fantastic. It's happening at the Victory Theatre. I must be honest, I didn't even know the Victory Theatre was still open and running.
Yes, the Victory is actually celebrating 95 years now, I think. And it has been running just on a smaller scale. So we're one of the bigger shows that's going to be performing there, and it's great to be back in that space.
Amazing, yes. Well, it's happening on the 1st of December 2023 at 8 p.m. Tickets are R150 per person, and I believe they're available through the JQC website. Is that correct?
Yes, you can access the ticketing through our website, through the events page, or easier if you go onto Quicket and search This Is Queer.
Okay. All right. Brilliant. And would you say this is a show for the whole family? And kind of what can people expect in terms of the length of the show? I mean, how long does the show go for?
It's our usual time span of around about 2 hours for the show. It is largely family friendly. We do have one or two more suggestive numbers this time round. Nothing that that the young ones can't handle.
All right, so it's a fun evening with a bit of spice. Darren Meltz, chairperson of the JQC. They've got a performance coming up on the 1st of December at 8 p.m. We'll put all the details up on the Santon Times Hour. Darren, it's been great to have you again on the Santon Times Hour. Well, we're going to take a quick break talking about music. I'll be right back with the show after this.
Get ready to outshine summer with Virgin Active. Start with the month on us. Add on the freedom to move and gym at over 130 clubs with a premium membership. Score 40% off monthly fees and punch, run, lunge and swim your way to a stronger, happier you, wherever you are. Call 0860 Get Fit or visit your nearest club to get started. It's your time to shine. Virginactive.co.za. T's and C's apply.
From Greater Sandton to the rest of the world, this is the Sandton Times Hour.
You're listening to the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and all good digital audio platforms wherever you are in the world. And that was Strangers by Kenya Grace. And as we get into the last 100 meters of this week's edition, I'm thrilled to be joined by popular South African comedian Napster, who will be performing in Sandton this week as part of his new show called The Black Vegan. And The Black Vegan comedy show is an international showcase performed by Napster, also known by his parents as Napoleon Masinga. And he takes his audiences through a hysterical, interactive, and enlightening journey through his personal voyage to veganism as a black man in Africa. And Napster joins me on the line. It's good to have you on the Sandton Times Hour.
Hey, how's it going, man? Good to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
So Napster, tell me a little bit more about this show. I mean, I've taken a stab at vegetarian or veganism at some point. It lasted all of 6 hours, and then somehow I defaulted back to biltong or something. But tell me, what was your experience like?
Well, the first thing you should never do is watch a Netflix documentary and have it inform your dietary requirements. Because that's what happened to this brother over here.
Which one was it?
I watched a Netflix documentary and the rest was history. And yeah, the struggle has been real. You know, now I find myself at Chisanyama's pudding. Broccoli on the braai, and you know, I'm at the umsebenzi, and I'm trying to slaughter pumpkin. It's tough for a black man, but you know, we're trying to adjust to this postmodern society. So yeah, that's been my experience thus far.
Which Netflix series was it?
It's called What the Health.
Oh, okay, not the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, that one was a little bit more positive, talking about these tough guys and how they didn't eat meat. But this other one was scary. It was very scary. Even you would quit meat at least for 24 hours.
Wow. Okay. Well, I don't know if I should or shouldn't watch it this coming week. But listen, how did you adjust to this? I mean, was this sort of an instant thing that you decided, I'm going to drop everything, I'm going to clean out my fridge, I'm done with anything that's not you know, within the vegan diet, and I'm going cold turkey, or maybe that's not the right word, but I'm going straight into this, you know, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing about me, I'm an extremist. I'm very impulsive. I watched that documentary, and I seriously had a Husa moment, and I was like, wow, this meat thing, okay. And the next day, I was in, you know, and I didn't do any research, and I went in. Look, there were two benefits, okay. One obviously was, I mean, there are so many tremendous health benefits to being vegan. It was leading me towards a healthier lifestyle. However, I must caution and say, comrades, do your research first, because I did get ill. And so I would recommend that you see a dietitian before diving into any diet, which we normally do these days. You see a meme online, and then the next thing, you're making some drastic decisions which might shock your body, and sometimes for the better or for the worse.
Well, listen, I'm glad you put out that disclaimer. So please don't take any advice from the Sandton Times, our memes, you know, TikTok videos, as we've seen this past week as well, and any sort of other medical suggestions, you know, like you said, go consult professionals, go you know, do your homework. But so obviously a lot of the content that comes into the comedy show is based on these observations and based on these experiences that you've gone through. And I mean, as South Africans, like we've seen over the Rugby World Cup final weekend, having a braai and enjoying meat is very much part of being South African.
100%. 100%. Our cultures, our traditions, our family norms are centered around meat, you know. So the first thing that happens when you give up meat is you just stick out like a sore thumb. And then everyone in the family now is trying to cater for you. And then your mom doesn't understand that being vegan and vegetarian is not the same thing. Because for me, being vegan, my mom just says, okay, we'll just take out the drumstick, vegan. And it's like, no, there's so much more to the process, you know. So I think a good education job for a lot of us. And also just exploring alternative lifestyle. Broccoli on the braai is not bad, I must say. Just depends what sauces and spices you use, and if they are vegan, of course.
So what were some of your most funniest moments going through this experience of sort of converting to veganism?
One was the withdrawal symptoms of legit nightmares. I legit had a nightmare of a lamb chop chasing me. I couldn't shed this dream off for at least 15 days. Real, guys. True story. True story. True story. The second thing was, you know, as an African man, every Sunday we have this thing called Seven Colors, where my mom cooks and she just goes wild. Next thing I'm there, I'm trying to have Seven Colors and I'm a vegan, which is a big problem. My mom almost laid hands on me to pray because she thought there was something wrong with me. I'm like, no, mom, this is a good thing. This is where the world is going, you know. You know. And then, yeah, I mean, the struggle of trying to find a vegan restaurant, and then the response of the waitresses and the waiters, you know, trying to retain a customer and acting confident, but you can see that she doesn't know what vegan is. Like, oh, okay, you're a vegan. Okay, let me show you our menu. And it's like, nah, you guys don't cater.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah.
You can maybe do the, what's it called? What was it called? The Salad Valley at Spur. I think they used to have,
yes,
one of those.
Remember the Salad Valley? That was epic.
Well, Napster's going to be in Sandton with his show on the 10th and the 11th of November. And if you are vegan or not vegan, or just find all of this very entertaining and very interesting, well, you want to go down there. He's at Black Brick at the theater. I think it's Black Brick 2, because it's Black Brick 1 as well, so I'm getting confused between the two. It starts at 8 p.m. You can get your tickets at Quickhit and Napster. It's been such a pleasure chatting to you about your new show, The Black Vegan.
Thank you so much for having me. I'll see you guys at the show.
And that's it for another Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and available on all good digital audio platforms wherever you are in the world. If you want to get in touch, you can email editor@santontimes.co.za or connect on social media at Sandton Times, and visit the website www.santontimes.co.za, and feel free to send through your questions, your comments, your feedback, your input. All of that is always welcome, and it's always good to hear from you. Thank you to all my guests who made the time to be on the show this week, as well as Vincenzo. Thank you for everything that you do every week. I mean, it's almost done now. I mean, we're almost done for the year. Can you handle it? Thank you to the Sandton Times team, as well as everyone at Mix 93.8. And thank you for listening. And let's connect again next week.
That's it for this week.
Thanks for listening to the Sandton Times Hour. And if you enjoyed it, be sure to share it.